Today's daf is Bechoris daf Tez Zayin. We are 11 lines from the top of daf Tez Zayin Amud Aleph. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shleima for Shlomo ben Sarah Alisa. So the topic of the daf is a continuation of the previous two dafin, and that is the halachos of Psulei HaMikdash. Psulei HaMikdash is a carbon that has a mum, where the halacha is that once it has a mum, you could be poida it. You could redeem it, you can transfer the Kedusha from the carbon onto something else, and the carbon itself, to a certain degree, will be Yoytzei L'chulin. The Makar to the Halacha Psulei HaMikdashin is a Pasuk tucked away, Parshas Re'ei, Dvarim, Yud Beis, Pasuk Tezvav. The Pasuk is talking about a carbon and says, Rak b'chol avas nafshecha tizbach v'yochal tovasar. In contrast to an ordinary carbon, where the Halacha is, Lo yisucha lecha b'sharecha, there's a Parsh of Shchutechutz, Halachutz. When it comes to this particular carbon, Torah doesn't explain what it's referring to. There, you can eat it wherever you want to eat it. Kevirkas Hashem alikecha Hashem nosam lecha b'chol sharecha. Not only could you eat it wherever you want to eat it, but just like a tzvi and an ayo, Rashi says, she'ein carbon bum mehem, you could eat wherever you want, so to this carbon, you'd be able to eat wherever you want as well. Say Chazal, what carbon is the pasuk referring to? It's referring to a carbon that had a mum kavua. After you're poida it, that's when this pasuk kicks into effect. Rak b'chol avas nafshecha tizbach v'yochal tovasa. Stating that, the Mishnah said that there's two types of psulei hamikdashim. There's psulei hamikdashim where the animal was a carbon before it attained its mum kavua, and then there's psulei hamikdashim where first the animal had the mum kavua, and then afterwards it became a carbon. Where the animal got the mum before it became a carbon, then la'achar pidyon, it's much more kulodik. The Gemara brought a brice on the bottom of Daftez Vavam and Beis, which said that it's harehin kechulin l'chol divrehim. It's treated almost entirely like chulin. If, however, the animal was a carbon first, and then afterwards received its mum kavua, although the halach is he could be poided, and although the halach is that once you're poided, with regards to many halachas, it's yoytzei l'chulin, but with regards to many halachas, it's treated like kachim as well. For example, it's asur b'gizav avoida. There's no halacha of bechar. There's no halacha of zroya l'chayayim in kev. Either way, the Mishnah on Daf Yudal and Aleph gave a short list of differences between psulei hamikdashim la'achar pidyon, between whether the mum came before the hekdesh or the hekdesh came before the mum. The Gemara in Daf Tes Vav Amud Beis on the bottom brought a brisa that elaborated on that list, and the Gemara now is going to conclude its discussion of this entire topic, and specifically the brisa on the bottom of Amud Beis. Zok Gemara, Vashoichtam Bachutz Patin. Now the truth is that if you look back at the brisa, you're not going to find these words. So these words, Vashoichtam Bachutz Potter, were apparently chasure machzera from the brisa that the Gemara brought on the bottom of Tezvavam and Beis, but it's referring to the seifa of the brisa. The seifa of the brisa, which discussed psulei hamikdashim, where first the animal was a carbon, the hektish came before the mum came. And the brisa seems to be saying that if you would shech this animal, la'achar pidyon, you would not be chayiv for shchutechot. Rafuna says the Gemara, Master Chayiv. Rafuna had a different girsa in this line in the brisa that we don't even have. His girsa was that hashoich tem b'chutz is going to be chayiv. Now the truth is, the girsa of hashoich tem b'chutz potter makes a lot more sense than the girsa of Ashoich HaMechutz Chayiv. And that is because the most important fundamental principle whenever you learn the halachas of Shrutei Chutz is that the only time you chayiv the Shechtin Kachem Bechutz is if the El Pesach HaYomoyed Lo Yivieno. If this was the type of Kachem which you could have brought Bifnim. So anything that's Ru'uya to be brought El Pesach HaYomoyed, if you Shechtit Bechutz, or if you Mailet Bechutz, or if you do Zrika Bechutz, etc., etc., like the sugyas discussed in detail in Perek HaShoichet VaMailet Masechet Zvachim, you're going to be chayiv. But if you have a carbon that you couldn't bring Bifnim anyways, it wasn't Royal Love El Pesach HaYomoyed, then you're not going to be chayiv Bechutz. Now this carbon, you can't bring El Pesach HaYomoyed. It doesn't matter if the Hektish comes before the Mum, or the Mum comes before the Hektish, or whether you're poided or you're not poided. An animal that has a mum kavua, for sure, you can never bring as a carbon. So the truth is that the girsa of Ashoich Tam B'chutz Potter, at first glance, seems to be the proper girsa. So what's Pshat Rafuna? Rafuna Masni Chayef, says the Gemara. That's the commentary. Umukim La Bedukim Shabahin. He made an akinta in the Braisa. He was bothered with this kash as well. How could the Braisa say Ashoich Tam B'chutz Chayef? Must be talking about a very specific type of mum. What type of mum? A mum that's in the Dukim Shabahin. Va'alibet Rabbi Akiva Da'am Amal Lo Yehidu. Because Rabbi Akiva, the shita is in Perek HaMizbeach Mekadesh that although if somebody would take an animal that has a mum, be makriv a chelik of it on the mizbeach, you would have to take it down. It's one of the psulim where the halach is that even b'di'evet imalu, if one on the mizbeach yerdu, but there is a type of mum where the halach is imalu lo yerdu. Rav Huna felt that the only way to understand this girsa in the Braisa is by saying that the Braisa wasn't discussing an ordinary mum kavua, but a mum kavua where the halacha is im alu lo yerdu. Being that it's im alu lo yerdu, that's enough to say that it's roi lovei al pesach ayomai. This is some real kachem lundis, and it's for that reason Asheich ben Bechutz is going to be chayiv. Meaning, Rav Huna had the girsa chayiv. He acknowledged that for most women, there's no way to have such a girsa. Of course, Asheich ben Bechutz would be potter. Mukum labadukim shabayin. According to Rabbi Akiva, who holds that type of mum is im alu lo yerdu. Once it's im alu lo yerdu, it's roi lovei al pesach ayomai. It's roi lovei al pesach ayomai. That's how you can have this halach. Bryce said, bein lufnei pidyon. As it relates to the carbon that has a mum kavua, where first it was a carbon, then it got its mum. So being that even lachapidyon, to a certain degree, it still has kedusha. So the halach is, it's oisa tmura. And it's oisa tmura, whether you did the tmura before the pidyon, or whether you did the tmura after the pidyon. If you do the tmura lachapidyon, meaning you apoida this animal that had first the hektish, then the mum. And then after you appointed it, you did the tmura. The halacha is, this animal, that's the tmura of the animal balmum, is going to be mesa, you're going to kill it. My time, or what's the reason? So Rav Nachman explained it. He's like, hey, chilavid, what else should you do? Likrevei, should you be makrevei, mikach kedusha tuchuyu ka'asya? How can you be makrevei? This tmura got its kedusha from an underlying carbon. The underlying carbon was a carbon you couldn't be makriv. It was psulei amikdashim, and had a mum kavua. If that's the case, how could you be makriv the tmura? Lifrika, should you be poided le'alim le'mitves pedyayna? Being that it received its tmura after you already poida the psulei amikdashim, once you poida the psulei amikdashim, it weakens the kedusha to a degree that the carbon, whose its tmura, has that same level of weak kedusha. It's so weak that you can't be poyed. That was a svara that the Gemara discussed yesterday in great detail. Hilkach, Rav Nachman said, by process of elimination, pun intended, mesa. You have to eliminate this animal. There's nothing else you can do. You can't be makrevit because it's tmura of a carbon that has a balmum. You can't be poyed because its kedusha is too weak, because the tmura was chal la'achar pidyon. So the level of kedusha that it got is so weak that it's not olim enough for it to be nitfas in it opinion. For that reason, you have no choice but to go ahead and kill maskel v'rab amrin. Rabbi asked the kasha, v'teichel b'mum l'bayil, why can't you just eat it? Why do you have to kill this tmura? Why can't you eat the tmura? V'chim ha'bizul, the tmura is b'charu ma'isa. And there's precedence with this. V'tnan, we don't do the Mishnah. Masech this tmura, tmura is b'charu ma'isa. If you have the tmura of b'char, or tmura of ma'isa, see, an animal that was a b'char, you had an animal that was ma'isa behema. These are different types of karbanos. And you created a tmura. So the halacha is, the tmura of the b'char, the tmura of the ma'isa heim, uvladon, vlad vladon, atsoif kol adoyrois, harehen ke b'charu ma'isa v'yoichle b'mum l'bayla. The halach is that if they have a mum, you can eat it. Says Kasha was that why is the tmura of Psulei HaMikdashim different than the tmura of Bechor and Meiser Balmum? Bechor and Meiser Balmum, it's tmura you're allowed to eat. So why should the tmura of this carbon that has a mum of the safe of the Braisa be any different? Why did Rav Nachman say you have to kill it? Rav Nachman knocked out two options. He said you can't be makrevit because it comes mikayach. Kedusha dechuya. He said that you can't eat it. You said you can't be poided because it doesn't have a strong enough kedusha. Thus, you have to kill it. No, there's another option. The other option is eat it. And there's precedence for being able to eat the tmura of a carbon balmum, because that's what you do with the tmura of a b'char and meiser balmum. Amar le Abayas. Abayas said very simple. Zeh shem ima yolov. Zeh shem ima yolov. Zeh shem ima yolov. Tmura is b'char and meiser. Mikar yo. Ma b'char and meiser b'mum mesachlum l'bayilum. Af tmura osa mesachlum. The reason you're allowed to eat the tmura of a b'char and meiser balmum is because of b'char and meiser balmum itself you're allowed to eat. So being that the halach is b'char balmum, meiser balmum you can eat, so you can eat the tmura of it either. Zeh shem ima yolov. But over here we're dealing with the tmura of ordinary kachem. Tmura is kachem mikaria. Ma kachem blei misachli al pidyoinam. Ordinary kachem that has a mum you're not allowed to eat. You're only allowed to eat it after pidyon. When the pasuk says, grak b'chol avas nafshach ha-tizbach v'yachal tovasa g'brichas Hashem alikach ha-shem nasa l'cha b'chol sharecha, that's psuli ha-mukdashim la'achar pidyon. Before pidyon, of course you're not allowed to eat it. Being that you're not allowed to eat it, after tmura asa nami blei misachli al pidyoinam. So too, The tmura, you wouldn't be able to eat either. Being that you can't eat it, only if you do pidyon, and we said to do pidyon is not enough. For that reason, you have no choice but to go ahead and kill it. So the reason you can't eat the tmura of the kachim of this brisa is because we're talking about kachim where it itself you're not allowed to eat when it has a mum, unless you're poided. So if you can't eat itself without pidyon, then how could you eat the tmura without pidyon? The point is, the lumdus of this halach is that tmura takes on the status of the thing that it's a tmura of. So if this animal is a tmura of a carbon that you could eat when it's a baal mum, such as b'chayra ma'aser, you'd be able to eat the tmura of a b'chayra ma'aser as well. But if it's the tmura of a carbon that you can't eat when it's has a baal mum only with pidyon, so the tmura also you'd only be able to eat lacha pidyon. Being that you can't be poided, that's not an option. So bottom line is, what was Rav Nachman's halacha? That the tmura of Psuli HaMikdashim, where it was Kadam Hekdeshon Lemumon, whether you did the Tmura before Pidyon or whether you did the Tmura La'achar Pidyon, the halacha is Mesa. Why Mesa? Process of elimination. You can't be makrivit because it comes Mikoyach Kedusha Dechuya. We can't eat it like you just said. You can't be paid it. That's for that reason. You have no choice but to kill it. Thank you, Rav Nachman. I mean, and the Tmura's Psuli HaMikdashim Shemesa, Talmud Loimar, it's learned out from a Pasuk. Pasuk that we've gone through so many times recently. It says in Parsha Shmini, Achazel loy toichlu mi male agero, u mi mafrisei aparsa, es agomol, ki male gerohu, u parsei nenu mafris, tomehu lochen. So this is a pasuk that talks about the simanim of a kosher animal. An animal has to be mafris parsa, it has to be male gero. And then the Torah says there are four animals that has one of the two simanim, being that it doesn't have both, the halach is they're non-kosher. One of them is the gomel. And after the Torah says that you can't eat the gomel because it doesn't have both kosher simanim, the pasuk says, tamehu lochem. And we learn from those words, tamehu lochem, which is extra, to teach me that it's referring to the tmura of psulei hamikdashim. It's talking not about a gomel, not about a kosher animal versus a non-kosher animal. It's discussing a halacha in kachim, a very abstract halacha in kachim, the tmura of psulei hamikdashim. Not bad. But that halacha is tamei hulachem, mesa, you're not allowed to eat it, you're supposed to kill it. Faith the Gemara, how could you use tamei hulachem for that? We need it for something else. Chomesh chatois, mesa is, there's a halacha, something that comes up a lot in mesachtes tmura, and some of the mesachtes that we're going to learn now. So this is an idea that we're going to see a lot. There are five types of carbon chatas with halachas. You couldn't be makrivit, you couldn't be poided. You were supposed to kill it. Known as the chomesh chatois hamesis. And the Makar argues the Gemara to the chomesh chatois hamesis from those words, tami ulochem. So how can I use tami ulochem to tell me that the tmura psuli hamikdashim kishakad hamikdashim lemumam is mesa from those words? I needed to teach me the chomesh chatois hamesis. The Gemara says, ahum mafrisei aparsei tamei nafka. That in that pasuk, there's really two diyukim. The Makar to this drasha, and both drashas are the words Tamehu. But Tamehu is going back on Mafrisei Parsa and Maligera. Thus, Tamehu, even though it's one drasha, it's Achashehishtayim, because it's going back, it's referring to two. What's Tamehu? If it's not Mafris Parsa, if it's not Maligera. So you have two drashas. One to teach me the Tmura Psula Amikdashim, and the second one to teach me the Chomesh Chatois HaMesis. Tanya Nami Hochi, Menai, the Chomesh Chatois HaMesis. How do you know the Chomesh Chatois HaMesis? Talmud Loibim, Mafrisei HaParsei Tamehu. You see, it's not from this Pasuk, not the Maligera part, from the Mafrisei Parsa part, because there's two drushes really that you can learn from here. But the Gemara parenthetically asks a question. Chomesh Chatois HaMesis, Hilchazik Miri La. V'chura, the halacha of Chomesh Chatois HaMesis is a Hilchasa, which usually means halacha L'moish Misinai. So if it's halacha L'moish Misinai, how are we learning it from a pasuk? Are we learning it from a pasuk, or is it learned out from halacha l'moish misinai? So the Gemara says, "Elo ki asa kra." You're right. The tmuras asham. Maybe the second pasuk is not coming to teach me the chomesh chatois hamesis, because the chomesh chatois hamesis is really halacha l'moish misinai. What then is the second tamei hulachem? Again, it's really one. It's achash yishnaim. It's coming to teach me the halacha of tmuras asham. What do you do with Tmuras Ashan? You have to wait until it gets a mum, and then you poid it. But the Gemara says, Tmuras Ashan, nami hilchasehi. The halachas of Tmuras Ashan is also halachal ma'ishim Sinai, because the rule is, kol sheba chatas mesa ba'ashim raya. All five chatois ha-mesois, the halacha is, if you would have the equivalent thereof issue with an Ashan, it would be yirat she'yistad. You'd wait until it gets a mum, and then you would be poid it. One of the chomesh chatois ha-mesois is Tmuras Chatas. If that's the case, Tmuras Ashan is yirat she'yistad, and I know it from the same hilchasa. The same hilchasa that told me the Chomesh Chatois HaMesis told me that Kol Shabakatos Mesa Basha Miraya. So again, I don't need Tommy who to tell me the Chomesh Chatois HaMesis. I know that it's a Hilchasa, and I don't need to tell me Tmuras Hashem either, because Tmuras Hashem is also a Hilchasa. So the Gemara says, Elo Elam Chomesh Chatois HaMesis. Really, The second Tomei Hulachem is coming to teach me Chomesh Chatoyes Meses. One of them is coming to teach me Tmuras Psuli Amikdashim. The second one's coming to teach me the Chomesh Chatoyes Meses. What's the kasha? I thought it's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. So if it's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, then it's not a pasuk. And if it's a pasuk, it's not Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. So the Gemara says no. It's derech kra, it's derech ilchasa. It's a pasuk and it's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Oh, and by the way, you need both. What the mikra? Had I only had the pasuk, have I mean the luria? Kamash Malan, Hilchasa, Bemisa. Had I only had the pasuk, it just says Tommy Hulachem. I know I can't eat it. Does he have to kill it? Maybe wait till it gets a mum, maybe be poided. Maybe after you poided it, you could eat it. I don't know. How would I know you're supposed to kill it? So for that, for sure, I need Allah L'Mashim Mitzinai. Vim Hilchasa had, I only had Allah L'Mashim Mitzinai. Hama Amina Hechad Avad Ikbi V'Achal, Mahani Chamesh Chatoyis Yisuri Ikka. What would be if you eat it? I would think, okay, you violated Allah L'Mashim Mitzinai. What happens if you violate Allah L'Mashim Mitzinai? It's an iser, but lav leka, there's no malchus. Kamash b'lon the ikol lav that this pasuk of achazel loy soichlu tamehu lochem is referring to the chamesh chatoyis hameses. So it's a pasuk as halacha l'maish b'sinai. It's yagid olav reyoy, meaning they complement each other. One without the other doesn't tell me the full picture. I need the hilchasa to clarify that when the Torah says tamehu lochem, it means we kill it. I need the pasuk to tell me that if somebody eats it, he's over. Achazel lo yisoichlu, he's over a lavi. Iba yaseima. Alternatively, really, you wouldn't need the pasuk. Really, the hilchasa could have told me the whole story. Rather, why then did the Torah tell it to me in a pasuk? Lakushe dover haba mimaligero, the dover haba mimafrisei parasa. Not to teach me the halacha itself. Meaning, Tomei Hulachem is teaching me Chamesh Chatoyis HaMeses. I know it from Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai. It's true, I know it from Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai. Why is it a pasuk? Not to teach me the Halacha itself of the Chamesh Chatoyis HaMeses, but to be makish the Halacha of Chamesh Chatoyis HaMeses to another Halacha. Which Halacha? The other thing that's learned out from Tomei Hulachem. What's the other thing that's learned out from Tomei Hulachem? Arsuya, Tmuras, Psulei, Amukdashim, Kishakad, Amikdashim, Mumon. What's it coming to teach me? Malahalon, just like the Hilchasa is in Misa, I've come in Misa, because again, in the puzzle doesn't say Misa, it just says Tomei Hulachem. So how do I know it's Misa? Rav Nachman said that Bein Lefnei Pidyonim, Bein La'acha Pidyonim, Oysa Tmura, and La'ach, Utmurasa La'acha Pidyonim Mesa. How do you know Tmurasa La'acha Pidyonim Mesa? It's because of the Hekish, the Chamesh Chatoyis HaMesos. How do I know Chamesh Chatoyis HaMesos? From the Hilchasa. So the Torah wrote Chamesh Chatoyis HaMesos in this drasha, not to teach me the halacha of Chamesh Chatoyis HaMesos, that I know from the Hilchasa, but to be melamed, to be makish, the halach of Chamesh Chatoyis HaMesos to Tmuras Psulei Amukdashim Kishakadam Mekdashim L'mumam, where if you made the Tmura La'acha Pidyoinam, the halach is that it's going to be Mesa exhale. So the truth is, this last Gemara right here, even though the context is rather complex, but there's a very important underlying principle that we're not going to talk about. But just to point out, and that is the Gemara had a kasha that Mamon of Shach, the halach of Chomish Chatoyis HaMesos, is it halach of Moshe Mitzinai? Then what do I need a pasuk for? And if I have a pasuk, then what do I need the halach of Moshe Mitzinai for? And this was the tumult here in the last 8-9 lines that we just learned. The truth is that there are Gemaras where the Gemara will bring halacha is l'moshe misinai, and the Gemara has a makar from a pasuk that halacha l'moshe misinai. I mean, at first glance, the Gemara is asking a very good kasha. If it's halacha l'moshe misinai, then it's not learned out from a pasuk. And if it's learned out from a pasuk, then it's not halacha l'moshe misinai. That's good. Conceptually. But the truth is, if you go through Gemaras, there aren't many Gemaras where the Gemara says, Gemari Gemirila, Va'asi Yecheskel, Va'asmacha Akra. Just to give an example, the Gemara discusses Nisuch HaMayim. Nisuch HaMayim is Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai. Stating that, the Gemara says there's an extra mem, an extra yud, and an extra mem in the Nesachim that the Torah mentions in Parshas Pinchas with regards to the Kabbalists that were brought on Tzokis. Mem yud mem is a remes to mayim, that's a makar to Nisuch HaMayim. Ukehena rabbis. There's many makaris to this. So Luchur, at first glance, why is the Gemara muching? Why do I need a pasuk and halacha l'moshe misinai? What's wrong with saying that va'asa yecheskel va'asmacha akro? It was halacha l'moshe misinai va'asa moshe va'asmacha akro. We have an asmachta from a pasuk. It's not a real fleshing a pasuk. It says tomi hulachem. The context is the camel. The context is mafrisei parsa and malagera. So you have a drosha. So why can't the drosha be an asmachta to something that's mefurish and halacha l'moshe misinai? Again, this is a gateway to some real festeray. The Rambam and his Akhtomer to the Pirush HaMishnayis, the Chavis Yor and Simin, Kuf Tzadik Beis, Ayin Sham, underline that. Either way, Zok the Mishnah, new topic. we return to our regular program, really, which is the halachas of Bechayre, Sokta Mishnah. Ha mekabel tzoyin barzel, min oive keichavim. If someone's mekabel tzoyin barzel, of Mesachtes Ksubas fame, nichsei tzoyin barzel, from a guy. So the halacha is, vladei seyem piturim, the vladeis of the tzoyin barzel, apatim and abechar, vladei seyem chayavim. However, the einaklich apatim from abechar. So what does this mean? Number one, what does tzoyin barzel mean? So once upon a time, there was a very common financial arrangement that partners would make where Reuven and Shimon would come together and they're going to be business partners. One person is going to provide the product and the other person is going to do the work. Now, there's different ways that you can make this arrangement. In the Tzoyin Barzel arrangement, what happens is the person that's providing the product, in this case, Tzoyin, he's providing the sheep, that person is guaranteed that he's going to get his sheep back. So the operator, let's say Reuven is the one that's providing the product, and Shimon is the operator. Shimon, the operator, has to guarantee that he's going to give Reuven back what it was he gave him. So if he gave him $1,000 worth of sheep, the arrangement was 10 years, we're going to do work, and we're going to have some sort of shutfis. When 10 years comes, Shimon has to write Reuven a $1,000 check. And it doesn't matter if something happened to the sheep, they died, they became more expensive, less expensive. What happens is he has an achrayas, a guarantee of whatever the underlying value of the tzoyin were at the time that they sat down and they made this arrangement. It's barzel, therefore, in the sense that it's ironclad, it's rock solid. From the financier's perspective, from the investor's perspective, he's sitting good. Because even though they went into business together, but if you really break it down, he loaned this person money. Because he guaranteed it, right? Usually, an investment is defined by the risk that you take. So if you're assuming risk, then it's a quote-unquote investment. To the extent that the money's guaranteed, then it's more a loan than it's an investment. And this is important, not just, you know, in business transactions. It's very important in halacha. This is Ezer Neshech 101. Because the halacha is that if you lend somebody money, you're not allowed to get a return on your money. If you go into business with somebody, you shook them together, and then you can make as much money as you want to make. But in being that this money is guaranteed, so really, if you think about it, it's viewed a little bit more as a loan than it is an investment, because the operator, Shimon, has an achrayas, he has a responsibility to give back to Reuven, dollar for dollar, the value of what it was that he got. The truth is, it's so much like a loan that we're going to see, the Gemara is going to say that it's aser for Reuven and Shimon to even do this. You know why? Because it's ribbis. Because what happens when they go out and they make money, so now Shimon's going to start sending quarterly checks to Reuven. What's happening is that Reuven's making a return on a loan. It wasn't a loan, we went into business together. That's not business. You forced me to guarantee that I'm going to give you back dollar for dollar. So essentially what happens, you loaned me money, and on your loan, you're now taking interest. That's ribbis. This is a big problem. The Gemara says it's usher for two yidin to get involved in a tzoyin barzel relationship. But either way, over here, you didn't do it with a yid, you did it with a guy. So a kabel tzoyin barzel from an oivik kechavim. If somebody took tzoyin barzel from an oivik kechavim, so the guy was the investor, the yid was the operator. See, he provides the tzoyin, the animals, and the yid is a shepherd. He's going to work for 10 years, and then whatever grows or whatever, all the produce, the animals that are born, they're going to have some sort of yachloiku. So the question is, the animals that now come, is there a chiyav b'chayra or is there no chiyav b'chayra? This is a little tricky. Says the Mishnah, vladei seyem peturim, the vladei apatim and abachar, vladei seyem chayom. The Gemara is going to explain this in greater detail, but the way Rashi explains it right here in the Mishnah is that vladei seyem doesn't mean the vladei of the tzoyin barzel themselves. That for sure is patam and abachar. Meaning the tzoyin barzel that the guy gave the yid, if that tzoyin itself now had children, the bechar is for sure not going to be kodesh b'kdushas bechar. The question is, what happens if the offspring now has a bechar? Says the Mishnah, vladei seyem peturim, meaning the vlad, if it itself was bikra, it gave birth to a bechar, so now we're dealing with the third generation, the einikel is going to be pater. Vladei seyem chayavim. If the einikel was bikra, meaning the fourth generation is already going to be chayav. Again, we'll see what this means in the Gemara. Hemet vladei seyem tachasim meiseyem, vladei is peturim, vladei is chayavim. If, however, the arrangement between the yid and the guy was that you told the guy that you're giving me the tzoyin, that when the day comes that you want to take your tzoyin back, based on our arrangement, let's say it was 10 years. The 10 years come and now you want to take your tzoyin back. You can take it from the original tzoyin or you can take it from the vladeis. So he was hemid vladeis saying. He made it very clearly stipulated that I'm assigning the vladeis of the tzoyin barzel as collateral, so to speak, for the money that you gave me. So you'll be able to be goyven from it That's something that you'll be able to take. So now the Vlad itself becomes like the mother. Thus, for that, therefore, the halach is that the Vlad's Vlad is also going to be potter. It's only the Vlad's Vlad's Vlad that's going to be chayv. You just knock it down one dart. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rav Shimon Gamliel said, "Afilo adasara pturim shachrius levikachom." Even up to 10 generations, there's never going to be bechar from this whole chagadia. Pun intended. The question is Rav Shimon Gamliel going under Resha? Or is it going on the Sefer? We'll see that in the Gemara. And the last halach is something that we discussed in great detail earlier in the parak, earlier in the Masechta. Rachel, she yaldam in Eiz. What happens if Rachel gives birth to an Eiz? Ve'eche yaldam in Rachel, p'turim in Abachayr. Right? Sounds familiar? Nidma is patim in Abachayr. Then yesh by mixa simon in Chayr. Shimon argues, etc., etc. Zok de Gemara. Le meimro, the kimid le'inokid mara zuza, b'shusid the mara kam. The first halach of the Mishnah was that if a yid and a guy have a tzoyin barzel relationship, where the guy provides the tzoyin, the yid's going to be the operator. And they're going to have some sort of yachloiku with all the produce, all the offspring, everything that comes from these animals. So the halach is, there's no bechar. One dar, two dairis, three dairis, but for sure there's a ptur bechar. Says the Gemara, what's pashupsha? Why is there no bechar? Presumably, because the way we look at this arrangement is that the tzoyin barzel are the guys. So just like a guy who has his own tzoyin that gives birth to a bechar, there's no kedushas bechar. So in this arrangement is not going to be Kedushas Bechar either. And even though we gave it to a Yid, but at the end of the day, it's Bershusa de Marakaim, above a Mitziah terminology. It's still in his Rishus. Why isn't it in his Rishus? Because at the end of the day, it was his. So even though it's not in his Rishus, he just gave it to this Jewish shepherd, but at the same time, we look at it as if it's in his Rishus, thus it's the guys. If it's the guys, there's no Bechar, because how could there be Bechar with a guy? Fake the Gemara for a minute, I'll ask you a kasha, Yishmak a kasha, Ima kabun tzoyim barzim Yisrael. Two Yidden are not allowed to make a tzoyim barzim relationship. Mipneshu ribis, because it's ribis. What do you see from the fact that it's ribis? Alma bershusa de makabo kaimo. See, you don't look at it as if it's in the rishus of the noisin, you look at it as in the rishus of the makabo, because the only time there's ribis is if I loan you money. What's the definition of a loan? No, I mean, it has to be yours. If it's mine, if I give you a pekadin, there's no ribis. Ribis is only when Reuven gives something to Shimon. Shimon has the zach now. It's his. So he can't give him back the thing plus interest. But if it's Pershusa de Marakaima, then you wouldn't have ribis. So from the fact that we're saying that there's no Bechar is Mashma, it's Pershusa de Marakaima. From the fact that we say that there's ribis, it's Mashma, it's Pershusa de Mekabokaima. Thus, the Gemara is Kasha, Viraminu. There seems to be a stira fundamentally how the Chachamim viewed this Tzoyin Barzel relationship. Did they view it as a loan, thus there's ribis? Or did they view it more as a pekadin? Thus, if you take Tzoyin Barzel from a guy, you're going to be potter from a bechar. Amar Abaye, Abaye said, like Kasha. He said, there's two types of Tzoyin Barzel transactions. Had the Kabbalah unza vizula, had the Kabbalah unza vizula. Where the Mekabel takes upon himself full achrayas, he says, no matter what happens to the tzoyin, I'm going to give you back dollar for dollar what it was you gave me. In that case, we look at it as being b'shus of the Mekabel. In that case, it's ribbis. If it's ribbis, you're not allowed to do it with a yid. In the case where the person doesn't accept the yukra vizula, meaning the Mekabel never told the investor that I'm going to give you back dollar for dollar what you gave me, in that case, we look at it as still being the rishus of the noisin. Thus, in our Mishnah, where the noisin is a guy, it's in the rishus of the guy, you're going to be part of Rabbi Bechayra. But Amalei Rava told Abaye three kashas. Number one, the Kabbalah le unza vizula tzoyin barzel karosli, then it's not a tzoyin barzel relationship. Then it's something else. You can make up another name for it. But it's ikka chasim in a sefer as far as tzoyin barzel goes. Tzoyin barzel means it's an ironclad transaction. It's not. To the extent that you're, as the investor, assuming all this risk, that it's not Tzoyin Barzel. V'oid, my Pascha. He said, you can't just make this up. Here it says Tzoyin Barzel, here it says Tzoyin Barzel. You're going to start making a kimtas that this Tzoyin Barzel means this, and that Tzoyin Barzel means that. These are two very misleading Mishnayas, the way you're learning it, Abaya. V'oid, and Rava said a third kash, Adatani Seifam Mekabon Tzoyin Barzel Madovi Kechavim. That same Braiso that says, Ey Mekabon Tzoyin Barzel Miyestrop Neshu Ribbit, says, but from a guy you're allowed to. Now, why are you allowed to do it from a guy? Because there's no isiribis when it comes to a guy. Lifli v'lisni v'dida. Why do we have to jump from a yid to a guy? We can continue talking about a yid and say b'med var mamurim. When is it a problem? Like kabbalah unza vizula. Av kabbalah unza vizula. Shapir dami ela ma'rava. So Rava said, idi v'idi like kabbalah unza vizula. V'hacha gabi b'chayra hainu. Time you have to say, that's not the part Rava said. We're talking about a regular tzayim barzel. Regular tzayim barzel meaning who's the person that was makabal yukra vizula, the makabal. The noisein, the one that's giving the money, wasn't Mekabel any Yukra Vizula. All the achrayas is on the Mekabel. And from that standpoint, it's technically viewed as a loan. If it's viewed as a loan, that's why there's an itzeribs. What's the kasha? The kasha is, then why is there no bechar? To the extent that the guy handed it over to the yid, it's the yid's now. It's lahitzan. No, he just has a responsibility. Whenever the due date comes, to write him a check. So, lechura, why should he be part of an abechayra? The reason is, because kivan di ilu asi avi kechavim bayuzuzi. V'lo yavli, tafas le behema. What would happen if the guy comes at the due date? And he says, all right, the time is up. I want you to give me back. Write me a check, says Chabnish Kangelt. So what would he do? Tafas lay the behema. He would grab the behema. V'loy mashkech lay the behema. And let's say he can't find the behema. Tafas vladis today. Then he would go ahead and he would grab the vladis. Haviyat v'kechavim be'ensa. So essentially, even though you're right now the tzayin belongs to you, it doesn't belong to a guy. But it's very possible, it's very likely, it's you talking that the guy's going to end up with it. Or it's certainly a possibility. That's enough for it to be called, quote-unquote, Yad Oivik Kechavim Be'emtza. And the rule, as it relates to Hilchas Becheiris, is that Kol Yad Oivik Kechavim Be'emtza, Pturim Na Becheira. As long as there's one sad Yad Oivik Kechavim Be'emtza, that's enough to be Pater Mena Becheira. The Mishnah continued and said, Hemid Vladei Seyem Tachasi Maiseyem Vladei Vladei Pturim. So the truth is that this line is a little out of context because the next Gemara is not going to be going back on that line. It's actually going to be going back on the first part of the Mishnah. The first part of the Mishnah was Hamekabel Tzayim Barzel Menah Oved Kechavim Vladei Seyem Peturim Vladei Seyem Chayav. Now, what does that mean? So we explain the Mishnah the way Rashi explains the Mishnah, and that is Vladei Seyem Peturim. When the children of the Tzayim Barzel give birth to a Bechar, that Bechar is not going to have Kedusha. That means the Tzayim itself. You have the Tzayim's children. When the Tzayin's children give birth now to the Dar Shlishi, that Dar Shlishi, to the extent that there's a Bechar, is not going to have any Kedusha. Stating that, as we'll see in the Gemara now, it's really a Machlekes HaMeirayim, whether that's in fact what the Mishnah means. Amrev, Huna, Vladeis Pturim, Vladei Seyem, Chayovim. That's the way we just explained the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda had a different shot. Vladeis Nami Pturim, Vladeis Chayovim. So what is Vladeis Nami Pturim? It means not only are the when the children of the Tzayim Barzel give birth to a Bechar, are you part of a Bechar? But even when the grandchild of the Tzayim Barzel gives birth to a Bechar, is there not going to be Bechar? Meaning the fourth Dar is also not going to have Bechar. There's not going to be Bechar until the fifth Dar. Says the Gemara Tanan. The Mishnah said, Hemet Vladeis Tachasim Maiseyem, Vladei Vladeis Peturim. The Mishnah said in the next line that in the event that at the original signing of this deal, the Yid said that the vlodos of the Tzayim Barzel are going to be collateral against the money that you're giving me. So then the halacha is we knock it down another dar. There the halacha is that vlodos are also going to be potter. Now, time of the hemet, it sounds like only when you make that arrangement is the halacha that the vlodos are potter. Meaning even the fourth generation of offspring are not going to have Dushas Bechar, it's only the fifth generation. Halay Hamid. But if you didn't make this arrangement, like, Tiyofta de Rav Yehuda. Meaning, the Mishnah says Rav Yehuda's halacha. The problem is the Mishnah says Rav Yehuda's halacha when you were Hamid, Vladei Seyem. Rav Yehuda was explaining the Resha of the Mishnah, where you weren't Hamid, Vladei Seyem. L'chayra, from the fact that the Mishnah stated Mefurish, Rav Yehuda's halacha, regarding Hamid, and not in the Resha of the Mishnah, it sounds mefurish, not like Rabbi Yehuda. Thus, tufted the Rabbi Yehuda. I'm like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda can tell you it's not muchach. Really, the halacha of the third generation's offspring are going to be part is true, even where you were loy hemid. Why did the Mishnah say it where you were hemid? V'hakam hashmalan, afilu hemid nami, the urche davi kechav lemitfaz bina. You would think that in the case of hemid, being that once the guy knows that he could take the ben, havi kimidoloi hemid, vladei vladei spturim vladei vladei zami chayavim. Meaning, you would have thought that once you're hemid, you get more than that. Maybe once the yid was hemid, the vladeis, as collateral, so maybe even the fifth generation is going to be potter. Kamash malon, that even when you were hemid, it's kamandoloi hemid, and when you're loy hemid, the fourth generation is potter. The fifth generation is chayiv. Even when you're hemid, the fourth generation is part, and the fifth generation is chayiv. But from the fact that the Mishnah said that when you're hemid, the fourth is part, and the fifth is chayiv, doesn't mean that when you're loy hemid, it's different. When you're loy hemid, it's the same exact halacha. The chiddush is that even when you're hemid, it's going to be that same exact halacha. The Mishnah said, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, afilu ad asara doyres peturim, that even up to 10 generations, you potter, shachrius levi kechavim, because the guy could always collect from all the offspring if you're not paying him back. Thus, even up to 10 doyres, you're going to be potter. It says, Bishlam, the Rabbi Yehuda, Dama Nachas Tanakama, Lidari, Bishlam, according to Rabbi Yehuda, where Rabbi Yehuda said that the Tanakama is already discussing doyres, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, the fourth, even the grandchild's offspring is potter. Okay, what's the machlokes Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda? According to Rav Huna, the yid takes the Tzayim Barzel, it's Vladeis HaPotter. What does pata mean? It's vladeis, vladeis are going to be pata. That's what it means, it's vladeis apata. It's vladeis, vladeis apata. It's vladeis, if it itself gave birth to a bechar, are going to be pata. We're not getting involved in dairis. We just said, the vladeis apata. The way Rabbi Yehuda understands it, it's vladeis, vladeis are also pata. Meaning, if the vladeis is vladeis, give birth to a bechar, even then you're going to be pata. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara sees that the Mishnah is getting involved in the dairis. The vladeis, vladeis. According to Rav Huna, we're not really getting involved in dairis. What did Rav Shimon Gamliel say? He said, "Afilu ad asara dairis." Someone says, "Especially according to Rav Yehuda." Rav Yehuda already discussed the fourth and the fifth generation. So he was nachis l'dari. Hainu damalei Rav Shimon Gamliel, afilu ad asara dairis. So Rav Shimon Gamliel said, not only the third to the fourth, but even 10 dairis, you're going to be part. El Rav Huna damalei nachis tanakamalei dairis. But according to Rav Huna, we never discussed dairis. We just discussed the vladeis. Now, implied as dairis, because the vladeis being potter means the vladeis children. But the Tanakhama never used a word that suggests dairis. So, maya filu ad asara dairis. So, why is Rav Shimon Gamliel talking about asara dairis? Rav Shimon Gamliel said that you're always potter. He should have said, like, why up to 10 dairis? According to Rav Yehuda, you mentioned 3, I mentioned 10. But according to Tanakhama, you never said 3, you never said dairis. So if he never spoke about dairis, why did you say 10? I'm like, Rav Huna, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Ahemid Koi. Who said Rav Shimon Gamliel is going back on the first line of the Mishnah? The first line of the Mishnah didn't mention dairis, but the second part of the Mishnah didn't mention dairis. The second part of the Mishnah mentioned Hemid. What was the halacha when you were maimed the vladois as collateral? Then the halacha is that you ratcheted down a dar, then already the third generation's offspring is potter from Bechar as well. So in the Hemid line of the Mishnah, even according to Rav Huna, we're discussing dairis. According to Rav Huna, Rav Shimon Gamliel is not going back on the first line of the Mishnah. He's going back on him. So essentially what the Gemara did was, the Gemara brought a machlokes Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda had to understand the Mishnah. And the Gemara started asking kashas from different lines in the Mishnah. And the Gemara saved the best question for last. The best question is the most obvious question. What's the most obvious question? The first line of the Mishnah. And the Kabbalah saying, Basmalei Kechavim, Vladei Seyim Peturim, Vladei Seyim Chayavim. Sounds like Rav Huna, not like Rav Yehuda. But the Gemara didn't ask that. First the Gemara asked from Hemid, then the Gemara asked the Diak, why is Rav Shimon Gamliel talking about Dairis? But this is the, here's the punchline, here's the final question. Right, the Gemara, Tiofta the Rav Yehuda, right? I mean, the Mishnah says Rav Huna's Lashon, doesn't say Rav Yehuda. I'm not Rav Yehuda, Hema, Heinu Vladei Seyim. Could be Rav Yehuda had a different gerse in the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says, I'm a Kabbat Slaim Basma, maybe Kechav Vladei Seyim Peturin, the gerse was Hein U Vladei Seyim Peturin. Hein meaning the Vlad, and the Vlad's Vlad are going to be potter. Ikad Amri, some actually had that gerse in the Mishnah. Hein U Vladei Seyim Peturin. And the question was therefore not a kashan Rav Yehuda, it was a kashan Rav Huna. Tiofta de Rav Huna, Amalach Rav Huna, Ema, Hein, Uvladeis, Pater, Vladei, Vladeis, Chayev. So really, depending on what the girsa of the Mishnah is, you'd have a riot to Rav Huna, Tiofta de Rav Yehuda, or you have a riot to Rav Yehuda, Tiofta to Rav Huna. If the girsa is Vladei Seyim Peturim, that's Mamish Rav Huna's halacha. If the girsa is Hein, Uvladeis, Seyim Peturim, if that's the case, not Mamish L'shoinei Hazav Shal Rabbi Yehuda, but implied would therefore be Rabbi Yehuda's halacha exhale. So, just to go back to some of the raid, the digression that we spoke about in yesterday's daf, and that is yarmulkes. So yesterday we mentioned a rather creative connection between the sugyas that we're learning and the idea of yarmulkes is based on a Medrash Rabba in Parshas Emor, Klum Hitzrachti Lecha, Ketzivik Ha'ayol. We don't have to go back into that right now, but we were discussing the tshuva of the Marshal in Siman Ayin Beis that spoke about yarmulkes, and I think it's just kedai to really back up a little bit and just to go through this a little bit more clearly, a little bit more methodically, as far as lehalacha. Does a person have to cover his head when he walks? Do you have to wear a yarmulke? I don't mean a borzolino on top of your yarmulke. We're talking about a yarmulke. Do you have to wear a yarmulke or do you not have to wear a yarmulke? Now, one thing is clear. There's many mentions in Chazal and in Shulchan Aruch about yarmulkes. So for sure, it's something that has a source in halacha. The question is it something that you're obligated to do or is it a midas chasidus? And this tremendous nafkaminas, kemuvan, whether it's something that you have to do or whether it's something that you're only mechuyev to do, mi midas chasidus. So the discussion really begins with a lashon hatur in Erech Chaim. It's in Hilchos Tzitzis. It's Simin Ches. the Torah says, when you put on your talis, umechaser roisha, you should take the talis and you should cover your head. Shelo yehei begiloi roish. It's like this, your head, you're here, your head will not be exposed while you're wearing the talis. Umechaser roisha, shelo yehei begiloi roish. And there's a machlokes beis Yosef, and Darkei Moshe, of course, is the Rama, had to understand Pashup Shat in this Torah. Says the beis Yosef that one would be inclined to think that what the Torah is saying is that when you're wearing a talis, make sure you're wearing a yarmulke. Meaning, that there's an idea not to be begilui roish while you're wearing a talis. But says the Beis Yosef, that can't be what the Torah says. Because everybody knows that you're never allowed to go begilui roish. A person also always has to be mechaser roish. So you need the Torah to tell you that when you're davening shachris and you're wearing your talis, make sure don't forget your yarmulke. Every time you walk outside, don't forget. Every time you walk down Amis, don't forget your yarmulke. Every time you make a bracha, don't forget your yarmulke. So how is it possible that you need the Torah to tell me that to make sure to be mechaser roishoy while you're wearing talis? What then does the Torah mean? It says the Beis Yosef, what the Torah means is that when you wear your talis, you should take your talis and you should put it over your head. The Torah wasn't telling me hilchas yarmulkes. The Torah was telling me hilchas talis. He's coming to explain to me how you're supposed to wear a talis. His lashon is that l'kayim mitzvah sitzes min amufcher. You should take the talis and you should put it over your head. That Rizal used to put it over his tefillin. But there's an idea to put it over your head. But it's a halach, it's a mitzvah min amufcher and how you're supposed to wear your talis. But of course, the Torah doesn't mean make sure you wear your yarmulke while you're wearing your talis. Says the Darkei Moshe, Avki mitzvah l'shmoy al divri beis Yosef v'peirusha. Even though there's a mitzvah to listen to what the Beis Yosef says, I don't agree with the Beis Yosef's pshat. I think that what the Torah is saying is what the Beis Yosef thought for sure he's not saying. What the Torah is saying is that when a person wears a talis, make sure that you're wearing a yarmulke. Don't you find throughout Chazal the idea of wearing a yarmulke? Says the Darkei Moshe, of course you find it. But you find it in the context of a Midas Chasidus. You're not mechuyev to wear a yarmulke. There's a Midas Chasidus to wear it. Kamashmal on the Torah, that when you're wearing a talis, over here it's a chiyev. Over here it's not a Midas Chasidus. Over here it's something that you absolutely, positively have to do. Now, it's interesting that at first glance, it would seem to be a machlokes between the Beis Yosef and between the Darkei Moshe, the Ramah, whether the idea of a yarmulke is something that one is mechuyev to do meikar adin, or whether it's really a midos chasidus. But the truth is that if you look around in the Beis Yosef and in Eir Chaim, there seems to be steers in the Beis Yosef. So this Beis Yosef is very clear. The Beis Yosef says without a doubt that what you're mechuyev to do is you're mechuyev to wear a yarmulke. And that's why when the Torah said a mechasas roisha, he meant mechasas roisha with the talis. There's no way in the world he could have meant anything else. The Beis Yosef in Hilchas Birchas Shachar. This is in Simin Memvav. So the Torah over there discusses the brachos. Etc. He's going through all the different brachos. Says the Beis Yosef that one of the brachos that we make is Oiter Yisrael B'Sefara. So what's the purpose of the bracha Oiter Yisrael B'Sefara? He brings from Tadmoinim who held that only someone who wears a hat should make the bracha of Oiter Yisrael B'Sefara. But if you're not going to wear a hat, there's no idea of making this bracha. V'nir Ali says the Beis Yosef, I disagree. Shetam bracha zu. You know why you make the bracha Oiter Yisrael B'Sefara? Not because we wear hats, but l'fisha also lahalich begili arosh. Because that's something that you have to do. And he says, even though there's a shita that holds that it's not awesome, but at the end of the day, the Beis Yosef says, I hold it's awesome. And being that it's awesome, so it's for that reason that we make a bracha. Because if you understand why you wear a yarmulke, it's kedesh teish mura shamayim aleim anu mevarchim oite yisrael b'sefara. Because there's an idea of brach and shevach that we're giving HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the schus that we have to walk around with Yerushalayim. That's why we make the bracha. It says to Beis Yosef, why do we make the bracha? His lashon is v'fisha aser lahalech begili arosh. It's Beis Yosef l'shitas. Beis Yosef said it in Simen Ches. He says it right here in Simen Vav as well, that it's aser for a person to go begili arosh. Stating that, we mentioned yesterday the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, which is really a lashon of Beis Yosef in Simen Beis. The halach in Simen Beis is also leilech b'koyim zakufa. It's also for a person to go b'koyim zakufa with a gaiva. And then the mechaber says v'lo yeilech dalin amas begili arosh. And a person shouldn't go dalin amas begili arosh. And all the achreinim, the marshal and his tshuva, all the achreinim are medayek l'shoynei hazav shel hamechaber. Because when it came to koyim zakufa, what did the mechaber say? Asur leilech b'koyim zakufa. When it came to a yarmulke, he said v'lo yeilech dalin amas. So it's a subtle diak, but despite its subtlety, it's a diuk. And the Beis Yosef, who's the Mechaber, seems to be saying that it's not usur to go begilui rosh, but rather all it is v'loyelech. It's something that you should be sensitive to, but it's not something that's necessarily usur. So it's a little bit mashma from the Beis Yosef then, not in Beis Yosef, but in Mechaber, same person, Mechaber, in Eir Chaim Siman Beis, that it's okay. It's only v'loyelech, lashon of midas chasidus, not going to be usur. But there's another Beis Yosef that's more meforish, and this is in Eir Chaim in Hilchas Tefila and Siman Tzadik Aleph. I'm quoting. Umasha kasev Rabbeinu v'yichaser roishay. Hakol by kasev b'simin yud alef. Kasev v'ram she'ein ayasol leilich begilui haroish. Gimasha amru perikol kis v'teisli lo yisagino. Dalan amas begilui haroish. Ratzol loymer zumidos chasidos. V'arif kasev she'esh limchoy sh'loy likones b'beis haknesses begilui haroish. Stating that, the Rif said that you shouldn't walk into a beis haknesses begilui haroish. And Rabbeinu Yeruchim said that you shouldn't make a bracha with gilui haroish. In other words, Beis Yosef brings this shita. It's the Shita Sakobai, it's the same Shita that the Darki Moshe brings in Simin Ches, but we're discussing this on the Achreinim level, not on the Rishonim level, but really, of course, everything in the Achreinim comes from Rishonim, but brings this Shita Sakobai that says that you shouldn't walk into a Beis HaKnesses, that it's a Midas Chasidus only, not to a Yarmulke, but in terms of Stamazoi, it's technically okay. Stating that, there's a Rif that says don't walk into a Beis HaKnesses, and there's a Rabbeinu Yeruchim that says don't make a Bracha. He doesn't argue with the Kolboy. He doesn't say that. What do you mean? The Kolboy said that it's mutter, it's only midas chasidus, thus the isser is only negeya and a shul, why are you making a bracha? He brings it as if it's okay. And in the Mechaber, right there in the same halacha, in Siman Tzadik Aleph, he does the same exact thing. The Shulchan Aruch says that yesh oimrim she'asol lahoitzi askara mipiv v'roish megula. V'yesh oimrim she'esh limchesh le'lekanis b'beis ha'knesses b'gilui ha'roish. And then he talks about if you want to make a bracha, you can cover it. The Mechaber over here is Lishitasa in the Beis Yosef, where he brought these Shitas. The problem is, those Shitas were not Negei in the Beis Yosef Shita. They were only Negei in the Ramah Shita. Meaning, according to the Ramah, that you don't have to wear a yarmulke. It's not Asr to walk without a yarmulke. But you should walk into a shul. Well, you're wearing a talis. That's the Torah in Simin Ches. Don't make a bracha. The Beis Yosef Lishitasa should be screaming. The Beis Yosef Lishitasa shouldn't be quoting this Rabbeinu Yeruchim. He shouldn't be quoting this Rif. He should be arguing Rabbeinu Yeruchim. He should be arguing with the Rif. It's a little bit mashma from the Beis Yosef that he's buying into all this, that he's okay with this. The emphasis is, I found that Rabbi Avadya Yosef, in his Yichad V'das, it's in Simen Aleph Chelik Dalet. He says like this, Umaran HaBeis Yosef, it's good to hear it inside, Hevi lehalocha divrei HaKolboi, b'shem ha'am, HaBeis Yosef, Simen Memvav Kosav, sha'atam lebirchas oiti Yisrael b'safara, ezlefisha osu leleches, arba amois, b'gilui harosh. It's osu to go b'gilui harosh. Umashma shedaito noite yoisef shasul aleches begilui haroish. Sounds like it's awesome. The chay mashma yoisef beis yoisef reish simin ches. It's mashma that way in simin ches as well. Stating that, says the Rav Avadya, that from the beis yoisef and simin beis, not mashma that way. And from the beis yoisef and simin tzadik aleph, it's also not mashma this way. He mamish makes this cheshbon. Av two beis yoisefs, simin ches, it's mefurish, simin mevav, it's also kamat mefurish, that you can't walk outside with any yarmulke. And then I have Simon Beis, subtle dick, and Simon Tzadik Aleph, where he's bringing Rabbeinu Yeruchim and all these shittas, says Moron Avadya. So, what's the hachra, according to the shittas of Beis Yosef? Is it us or is it mutter? Mikol makom halacha kemishna achroina. She have a simit tzadik aleph. That's a great pun. That loch is like the Mishnah Achroina. She ain't ze ela mi midas hachasidus or kapashtus hashas. So yesterday we said it's a Beis Yosef and Simin Ches. But really, after further review, it's way more complicated than that. This is steers in the Beis Yosef. And Rabbi Avadya Yosef came out that the sheet of Marona Beis Yosef was like the Darkei Moshe in Simin Ches, that it's okay. So if that's the case, so who holds that it's also? It's not the Beis Yosef. And it's not the Darkei Moshe. So really, it's a Taz. The Taz in Simin Ches says that even though Me'ikar Adin, it sounds like from all the poiskim, it's okay. And the Frat Marshal that we spoke of yesterday, from all the poiskim, it sounds like it's okay. Meaning it's only a Midas Chasidus, but it's not more than a Midas Chasidus. Stating that, the Taz says there's going to be another issue. The issue is, he says that if you take a look at the Umay Sa'olam, the Ovdei Kechavim, they all wear hats. And when they come inside, they sit down to eat. The first thing they do is they take their hats off. And he says, if that's the case, it's chukas ha'akum.
And if it's chukas ha'akum, it's not something you're allowed to do. So he says to go without a hat could be a bechino of chukas ha'goyim. And based on that, said the Taz, it's something that's going to be awesome. But as we're going to see in a moment, if that's the whole makar to the iser, then really it's totally in the place, and it's totally in the time, and it's totally in the minig ha'makom. Because today, no one's going to say that to go ahead and dafka take your hat off is a question of chukas ha'akum. They never put the hat on in the first place. So it's definitely not something that has any shaykhes to chukas ha'akum. But if you go through the sugya, to Beis Yosef, even though at first glance he seems to be the one in Simen Ches, but this is Rabbi Vadya Yosef. It's coming from the Sfaradish world. Rabbi Vadya Yosef understood the Shitas of Beis Yosef is Halacha Kemishna Achroina in Simen Tzadik Aleph, where he brings all the Ramaz Makairis, the Rabbeinu Yeruchim and the Rif. His Shita seems to be that it's only a Midas Chasidus to a Yarmulke. The Akimosh is Mefurish in Simen Ches. The Marshal that we spoke at yesterday, Dvorim Nifloim Adla Ma'oid, the Chuvis Marshal Simen Ayim Beis, and even the Taz, who's the one person that's machmer, the Taz's chumrah is really based on this idea. Now, the truth is that, as you would expect, Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked, and there's two tshuvas in Igros Moshe, where a person has an opportunity to take a certain job, but the job requirement is that he won't be able to wear a yarmulke. So is it okay for him to take this job and violate this halacha of being a yid and not wearing a yarmulke? So the first time Rav Moshe wrote a tshuva was in 1962. It's printed in Chosha Mishpat, Chelek Aleph, Simen Tzadik Gimel. It's the middle of the tshuva. U'bedavar emuter lekabel avoyda b'mokam sheitztarech lelechas begiloy harosh. Poshet shemuter. De'ena mechuyev lehafzin mamim b'shvil zeh. De'ena iser mamish af midirabonan. Elohu minik toiv. Shevadai loy chomer mi bitel asay. She'ena mechuyev lahafsid sach godo. Right, what's the halacha with an asay? I'm a vazviz al yavazviz yasim v'chaymish. So he says, this can't be worse than a mitzvah asay. Uminiya mi lika chavoida she ikar parnasosai hu ke hefsid godo. A job is called hefsid godo. And if that's the case, it's poshit hamavazviz al yavazviz yasim v'chaymish for an asay. Kal v'chaymer for something that's enoi iser mamish af midrabon. It says, Ramosha, v'af lahataz. Soiver, the bizman as a who also mitzad choiko akum, she imkain, who love, she each lesser, apamakam have sin movement, according to the Taz, it's a bukhukasem loiselech. So if it's bukhukasem loiselech, it's already a loisase. If it's a loisase, the Ramah says in two places that it's not a question of hamavazuz, ayavazuz, yoisa michoimich, it's a question of ubuchom moidecho. You have to give away everything. Says Ramosha, holovach, ain't dinay barer. Despite the fact that the Taz Halacha is not so clear, really you have to look at the context. This whole thing is not something that's relevant anyways. Avol Vade says Rav Moshe, even though it's poshit in Halacha that it's okay to take this job, but here's the caveat. Rak b'mokam avodosai, you should only not wear your yarmulke where you're actually working. Shalzehe makpidim yirashoi. Avol kishayetzi l'cheder acher, even if you go to another room, the koshkin kishayetzi l'shuk yiraser afim yaligu olav, even if they're going to make chayzik of him. Kivin shalai yafsid mishrosai v'avodosai b'shvilzah. So either way, Rav Moshe says in Chosha Mishpat, it's a chelek of Simen Tzadik Gimel that it's poshit. Why is it poshit? We just learned the sugya. When you go through the sugya, the poskim hold it's only a midas chasidus. And if it's only a midas chasidus, there's no question that it's going to be okay. The second shuvah that Rav Moshe wrote is printed in Eirachayim Chelik Dalid Simen Beis. This was written several years later, in 1974, but the maskana, it's a little bit more barichas, but if you go through the tshuva, the bottom line, Rav Moshe's psak is the same psak, that it's mutter and din, it's a question of midas chasidos, you're not mechuyev to be mevazvez money for a midas chasidos, even for an asay, ha-mevazvez al-yevazvez yasim mechayimish, you're dealing with a dover shal hefsid moment, it's considered a head. Hefsid meruba, because it's a job. A job is considered hefsid gadol in halacha. So it's for that reason not to talk about, but with the caveat, only to the extent it's negay the hefsid, it's negay your job, that's where you're supposed to be sensitive. But other than that, avada, there's a midas chasidus, is something that you're supposed to do. Rabbi Vadya, in that simon that we mentioned earlier, in simon, in chelik dalet, simon aleph, so Rabbi Vadya speaks about this as well. He also comes out that it's only a midas chasidus, even in the Shita of Beis Yosef, he says, it's only a midas chasidus. But then he says one nice caveat, toich dvarav. He says as follows, mikomokim nira, shabikisi aroish bezman nenu, yesh tam yoisem midas chasidus. It could be nowadays, there's actually more of a reason.
Miramoshin, the tshuva took the angle. Today, there's less of a reason. Because once upon a time, you had the taz. Today, you don't even have the taz. But Rebbe Vadya took a fakerta approach. He said that today, there's even more than the Midas Chasidus. Ki yodua. Shezeh darkim shalachof shem porkei ol toiru mitzvahs. Lelechas begili roish. People that are porik ol toiru mitzvahs. Obviously, they stop wearing yarmulkes. V'yesh heker miyuchad. If that's the case, then when a person wears a yarmulke, it's a heker lahaker bein oived alikim la'ashalei avodo. Al yidei akipa shal roish. Shadat So the yarmulke turned into a semel la'odom dati. So today it's a symbol that you're a frum, you associate as a frum yid when you wear a yarmulke. Okay, so that's a nice hergish, but that's not the punchline. His punchline is, if that's the case, if somebody goes begili roish, ish lochesh by mishum maris ayin. You have to be chayish for maris ayin. She yichashdu l'peirik goyim malchashem ayim olof. That people are going to be chayshed him, that he's a peirik goyim. Afa bishi yich ktsas datiyim shabou michutz laretz. V'nagu l'leches begili roish kimin hagu michutz laretz. Eina melu miyuta de miyuta. V'lechein yish mokim lochesh b'zeh al koponim mishum maris ayin. U'kamoy shenemar v'yisim nekiyim u'me Hashem Yisrael. V'noy ma'am mitzoh chayim v'seich al toiv v'enei elokim Adam. And he says, even though we don't have the ability to make up Yisurim today, so I can't tell you it's Aser. I think at the very least it's more than Midas Chasidus. Any person that wears a yarmulke, he'll be Yoyse Mikshash Marasayin. So the bottom line is that as it relates to Halacha, it seems to be Mutter. At first glance, it seems to be a Machloikis to be Yoyse. And the Ramah, there's also this fascinating Truvas Marshal that the Magen Avraham quotes, and that the Tai, everybody quotes this Marshal, which is unbelievable. The point is that at the end of the day, after the Truva from the Yechavadas, even the Beis Yosef, everybody holds it's Merinish Amidas Chasidus, with the exception of the Taz, which Ramosha wrote in two Truvas, is not something that's Negevas Marazeh. Therefore, B'mokim Hefsid is a Terim, stating that it's Midas Chasidus for sure, and Rabbi Vadya argued that it could be today there's even a Maris Ayin issue, so it could be it's something that's going to be even more than a Midas Chasidus. Again, why were we talking about this? The reason we were discussing this is because the Mashal brought a Raya from the Medrash of Parshas Emor, where the Medrash says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the Yidim, Lo Yitrachti Lachem, I wasn't Matriach you to take your yarmulke off when you're laying Kriya Shema. It sounds for sure like it's okay to take the yarmulke off when you're laying Kriya Shema. Says the Mashal, to me, it's a Mefurish of Medrash that it's okay to take your yarmulke off when you're laying Kriya Shema. Kavuchaymer, if you're just walking down the Ramas, Kavuchaymer, if you're just eating, etc., etc. Stating that, the grace of Kasha and the Mashal that the Chidah brings and that others bring, is that same Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I gave you the mitzvah of Karbanos, and lo yitrachti lachem, I wasn't matriach you to go to find chayas, but rather bring behemoths. Now, is it okay b'diyeved to go take a chaya? It's not okay. So you see that lo yitrachti doesn't mean that the thing that Hashem wasn't matriach us to do is necessarily mutter to do. But the Emes says that's totally machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish in Zvachim Daf Lamed Aleph, and it comes down to the sugis of Psuli Hamikdashim, because Psuli Hamikdashim, the Torah says you can eat wherever you want kitzvi v'ka'ayel. What's mean kitzvi v'ka'ayel? Says Rashi, just like the tzvi and the ayel achayas, they have no shaykhes to karbonos. That's how much you're not limited in terms of what you're allowed to do when it comes to. That's how not limited you are in terms of what you're allowed to do when it comes to this kachin. That's all true if you hold that a tzvi and ayil can't go on the mizbech, which is also telling the machlekes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Either way, just a little bit of a digression.